Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we will continue with our Black History series, third episode of Birthing Black-Owned Business. We here at the Treasure Box want to pay it forward for the many Blacks leaving a footprint in the sands of history, adding to our ancestors' steps to thrive as a people. Black History Month never stops. We as a people never lose our strong resolve to do better. Like the many stories in history of our strengths, wisdom, and resolve, 2020 gave all of us the call to stay woke. This shift caused many Black people to become yet again, as history has shown, to again become creative from our God-given talent. Ideas of owning a business and building family and community wealth in some form or fashion was starting to become a common desire for many Black people. Entrepreneurs were born almost immediately. So tonight, spotlighting Lucia Lamont of Cocina Lucina, authentic Hispanic and Caribbean cuisine. She will delight us with a rich history of foods and traditions from the homeland of Mexico. Miss Lamont has been in business since 2014 and prides her business on providing authentic Hispanic and Caribbean cuisine. She handles all types of events and functions. No job is too big or too small, too near or far. She is a traveling company. So go ahead, plan your event in Georgia, California, Arizona, even Vegas, anywhere. And Cocina Lucia will be there to delight your guest taste buds. So grab that pen and paper and join us with questions by calling 845-277-9412. I am my sister's keeper. Let's support our Black-owned businesses. Oh, and to my callers, we have a question and answer spot at the end. So hang tight. We got you. Help me welcome our Spotlight CEO and company, Miss Lucia Lamont of Cocina Lucia. That's a tongue twister. Hello, Lucia.
Hello, Aunt Lee. Hello, everyone. As Aunt Lee mentioned, I'm Lucia Lamont, the proud owner of Cocina Lucia, small catering business, founded in Tucson, Arizona, and now we're based out of Atlanta, Georgia. Just a single mom with two beautiful children that reside here in Atlanta also. Cooking is my passion. That's what I do. As long as I'm in the kitchen, I'm happy. So thank you, Aunt Lee, for having us and spotlighting my company today.
You are very welcome. We have callers coming in, and I'm going to just have everybody hold tight because we will get to you. And we will let everybody ask a question. So my first question is, what started the train on your first event?
Let's see. I would have to say at the time I was married, and my husband had a friend who was doing a reggae club night, and he asked if we could, make some jerk chicken, which is a grilled Caribbean spice chicken, for the, patrons of the club afterwards. Everybody mm-hmm. likes to eat. We all know that. So mm-hmm. we said, okay, we went ahead and, put together. I think we had maybe about 60 pounds of chicken, and it's just the leg quarters, well-seasoned. we did so amazingly well that night. I think we made about $600. And the most exciting part was we had a blast doing it. And I was like, oh my God, this is not only fun, but it was lucrative for just a couple of hours of fun, you know? So that's what kickstarted it.
And so birthing that business right then and there. See, God gives us all abilities to do something. And when we tap into them, he also makes sure that it's lucrative so we can live off of it. So don't underestimate your strengths, people. Don't underestimate even the tiniest things.
Never.
Okay, what was one of the strangest event requests your company has ever received? And you could say anything here because this is not PG.
Okay. There's been quite a few. I think one that stands out really to me is a pajama themed wedding breakfast.
Oh, okay. And I thought you were going to say something else. I was ready.
Well, the couple was gay, and to me that, you know, I love everyone.
Mm-hmm.
They were having a hard time. Not only was it an interesting request, but I felt gratification in some type of way, in a positive way, because I was able to help them because they had reached out to several caterers, but because they were a same-sex couple, they were having a hard time finding someone that would do their event. I guess because of the fact that they were gay, because of the fact that it was a pajama-themed breakfast wedding, I thought that was really cool. But I was able to help them, you know, with their event, and it was fun. It was interesting, and I would say that was one of the weirdest requests.
And you know, not only that, but that type of discrimination we also find as Black people and Latina people trying to just enjoy life a little bit. And when you get that resistance outside, it's like, this is one of the reasons why Aunt Lee's Treasure Room is just going to blow up. We are all included here, America. So each one help one. And we're going to overcome some of those stereotypes and some of those disadvantages that we have, that we've been shown in life, at least through this channel anyway. So, Lucia, do you have a staff with your traveling? I mean, you're doing a lot of traveling and stuff. So do you have a staff that travels with you?
I do have a staff. They do not travel with me when I do events. For example, in Arizona, I've got a wedding and a Easter brunch coming up in April. I use people that I've worked with before when I lived in Arizona. And if I do run short or they're not available for specific dates, I just use a reputable temp company.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That does make sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know you said that you had children, and what were some of the picky dishes as they were growing up that they just was not trying to hear, Mom? Just, I don't care if it's tradition. I don't care. I don't want it. Which dish would you say your youngest child absolutely positively just will not eat?
It's a traditional, my son, he's the picky one. My daughter's a little bit more open to trying new things. My son is the picky one. So there's a traditional soup, especially in the winter or any holiday, especially New Year's, it's menudo. It's a hominy corn with tripe. He was like, no, absolutely not. When he got a little older, he would eat some of the hominy corn, and that's it. But even to this day, that's just something he's, no, thank you.
Okay, I have a question, because you threw me there. Not too big on Caribbean food. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
What the heck is tripe?
Tripe is the intestine part of a cow. Beef tripe. Well, we, you know. Yeah, it's made with cheese tripe. So, yeah, interesting. So, you know, understandable why a kid wouldn't like it.
Yeah. Well, once they know what it is, especially, I remember being a child and feeling the same way about chitterlings, as some people call them. And that's a pig intestine. Mm-hmm. But, honey, they are delicious. I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
So, So for your company, you've been going on since 2014, and things are growing and going on. You know, you're making connects. Welcome to Atlanta. You're going to blend right in. We've got a lot here, so you should be great here in Atlanta. What are some of the goals that you have for your company starting out in 2021?
You know, growing it to its fullest potential. You know, that's, I think, any goal for any company, just reaching my fullest potential and ultimately expanding into production. My dream is to have my own tortilla line, which is, you know, the Mexican tortilla, you know, wrap the burritos in them. There isn't a place here in Georgia that makes them fresh, the flour ones, the corn ones, there's a few places. But the flour ones, there isn't yet a place that makes them fresh and authentic. So that is my dream, to ultimately just have my own production line. Tortilla.
Now, tell us a little bit about the history on the tortillas. Tell us a little history on it, because if it's not here and you're going to specialize in it, and I think I've had them before. Can you give us a little bit of history on...
Mm-hmm. It's the wrap that, you know, you put the Taco Bell burrito. A burrito is a tortilla stuffed with whatever, you know, ground beef, chicken, whatever you want to put in it. So that is what a tortilla is. So I would be starting a production line and distributing, you know, to different restaurants, corner stores, bodegas. Ultimately, the goal is, you know, Walmart, Target, the big chain guys. So that is what we're working towards.
Are these vegan friendly? What are they made with?
They're flour, wheat flour, unbleached white flour. We're going to have a vegan. And then, of course, traditionally they're made with pork lard, which is something we're going to offer. But we're also going to offer the vegetable lard one, because there's people that, of course, you know, don't eat pork. So we're going to cater to all that, and ultimately expanding into a lower carb tortilla for our keto customers. So there'll be a few different, you know, varieties that you can choose from, something to satisfy every taste for dietary needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm trying to go vegan, not doing very well at it, but I try. So every little thing that I can get that's good for me and, you know, that's new and healthy, I want to try it. I just, you know, getting a little older here. Got to work the engine a different way.
Yeah, not older. I like to call it vintage. But, yeah, you know, we're up there, getting up there in age. I myself do keto. So, you know, I personally purchase some from Walmart, I'll admit. You know, when I don't take the time out to make my own, I do purchase some from Walmart. And so I know that there's people with different dietary needs. There's a gluten-free version. There's a low-carb. You know, there's the vegan one, there's the vegetable one, the traditional pork lard, you know, that's authentic, that's what's all across Mexico. Every, like, couple of blocks, there's a tortilleria, which is a tortilla shop, and there's the conveyor belt, you know, they're just coming through, and somebody's stacking them and cooling them and bagging them up by the dozen, so that's the goal here.
And so that's your goal with your company, to not only be the caterer, but to make those authentically and to distribute them out throughout everywhere, Georgia,
Yes. Shipping and local, you know, local, having them locally everywhere, and then, of course, expanding into shipping across the state.
Well, be sure to stay tuned with us. We'll definitely help you blow that little idea up. That's
absolutely
amazing.
Thank
okay,
you.
Here's one that I think a lot of people like myself will appreciate. In your opinion, okay, not in your opinion, in some of your customers' opinions, what is the hottest pepper out there? The hottest pepper.
It
I know
actually,
Africans have one, but do Mexicans have a hot pepper?
Well, we use the habanero. That's really, you know, it's spicy and it's really common. Me personally, just being curious a while ago, it's called the Carolina Reaper. And it is actually the world's hottest pepper. I think it was named that either, I want to say the 2016 or 2017 by the Guinness World Record. And it still holds the record to this day for being the hottest pepper.
And you tried
it? No, absolutely not. No. No, I want to one day, but no, I haven't done this yet, but I'll keep
posted. Well, honey, hush. Let me just enlighten you. I know you're Mexican, but if you do, please have some Pepto-Bismol on hand, because that just sounds hot, okay? That sounds like a statement.
Yeah, it is extremely hot. I know that. So.
You know, I've had a pepper once that looked like a little teeny tiny pumpkin, and African was cooking with it. And, you know, I thought it was the cutest thing. Oh, my God, look at this little pumpkin. It's so cute. Until I tasted the dish and had to be rushed to the emergency room because I couldn't catch my breath. Never again. So I can't do the hot stuff, and I always ask about peppers because I have no clue what's hot and what's not. So thank you for that rendition. We all know now that you use the, what'd you say, the jalapeno?
No, ours is the habanero.
Habanero, okay.
The habanero, yeah, that's like one of the hottest. You know, we use the jalapeno, the serrano, but the habanero is one of the hottest ones, or the chiltepin bean, one of the hottest ones that we use. It's more common. There's several, but those are the most common that we use.
Let's see. It looks like we may have a caller. Let's see if we have a caller that will want to ask some questions. We're going to shoot in the middle of, because it seems like people are popping in and out. So we want to get their questions in. Hold on one sec. Hi there, caller. Are you there? Hello. You're on the air with Cosia Lucia and Auntie Lee. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Do you have a question?
Yes, I actually do have a question. So if you had the list, what is your most important things that you hold treasure? Like, what would be your motto for life?
Good question.
Very good question. In regards to my business, never, ever give up. I've come across obstacles, things that were discouraging, where I thought, okay, maybe I made the wrong choice. Self-reassurance. It's just self-reassurance. If this is, God puts things in our hearts. I'm very spiritual, and I think God puts things in our hearts, and He speaks us through our hearts. And my heart kept telling me, no matter what you come across, this is your path. This is your destiny. This is what you're supposed to do. You're going to come across speed bumps, you know, obstacles, hurdles, whatever you want to call them. They're designed to strengthen you and to get you ready for the road that's ahead, because it's going to be a bumpy ride.
Mm-hmm.
So just never, ever give up, and just self-reassurance. Like, I don't seek validation from anyone. I know that this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and I continue. I never give up. I've pushed and pushed and pushed.
Sorry about that, caller. I forgot to ask you your name to even introduce you to Miss Lucia, but that was an excellent, excellent question.
Yes, it was. Thank you, caller.
Yeah, because there's a lot of young people that are starting to branch out and try to nurture, you know, whatever their passion is, and it could be food. So they, you know, wanting to know how to get started and, you know, what's ahead of the road is a very good question. Let us know if you pop up a business, young lady, and we'll definitely shout you out. Do you have another question?
I did have another question. Okay,
no
so
problem.
You know, what are some good strategies to use if you wanted to advertise your business more, to have a that's pretty much it.
Well, I can answer that. This is definitely an avenue. But you mean for Lucia, what is her avenue? Is that what you meant?
No, I'm just saying in general.
Oh, well, in general, for me, in general, it would be, hello, Atlee's Treasure Box. And, of course, social media. You know, that's the thing right now, social media.
Of course.
You know.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that, definitely.
Yeah, because everything is virtual now. So, you know, the more you talk about your business or your business ideas, the more you get it out there, the more you nurture it, the more you research it, to actually know, you know, what you're talking about. So when you do meet people that have an interest in your interest and desires, you'll be able to communicate with them effectively and get your point across. And you never know when somebody's ready to be a blessing on purpose to help you out. So I would definitely, definitely say social media. Good question.
Thank you.
Caller, I didn't get your name, caller.
Oh, my name is Tatiana Edmond. And actually, my aunt actually invited me on here. I was like, of course, I have to support.
Well, thank you for your support, and thank you for your questions. We appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Okay.
No problem.
Hang tight. Now, let's see. Moving right along. She took my question. That was an excellent question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Okay, I had one, though. What would you advise as a delicious eat to a customer who does not like spicy food? Something that you make.
That sounds like you, because you're not a spicy person.
I know.
So it sounds like that's the self-gain here. Honestly, any dish that's spicy can be enjoyed non-spicy. For example, curry chicken, Jamaican traditional dish. I, in my home, make it spicy. Don't like it spicy. So if you taste it with a little spice versus no spice, it's going to be just as delicious. Unless, you know, of course, you just, like me, it has to be spicy. Salsa, chips and salsa. It can be amazingly delicious, spicy. All you do is remove the, you know, the hot pepper from it, and it's still amazingly delicious. So just about any food that's spicy can be enjoyed non-spicy. You know, it's the preference of whether you want it hot. Some like it hot, some don't. So, you know.
Well, that's good to know. So when even if I go into a Mexican restaurant and I want to try something new, I can say, but please don't make it spicy. Or are there just some dishes that automatically have to go like that, be spicy?
Well, no. For example, traditionally, I do a lot of the curry chicken, a lot of the jerk chicken, a lot of salsas for, you know, when I get a request on the Mexican food side. But I tell them, normally it comes a little spicy. However, everyone, including kids, some kids love it. We would be shocked at how many kids eat spicy food. But I will give them the option, and they'll say, oh, okay, no, Lucia, you know, we want half and half, half spicy, half not spicy. I had a birthday party not too long ago, just a spread of different chicken wings. I had jerk chicken wings, spicy jerk chicken wings. You know, cilantro lime chicken wings, spicy cilantro lime chicken wings. And it's just a matter of removing the hot pepper, adding the hot pepper.
Now, that sounds good. What'd you say, cilantro lime?
Cilantro and lime chicken wings. They're amazing. They're baked. No, they're baked.
That sounds good. That sounds really good. I have a running question to your caller that called in. In the same process of, you know, starting a business, you know, the ups and downs and everything, what is your process for accepting and preparing for an event, say, you know, for you, what do you have a certain process that you have, certain main utensils that you use? Is it just the process that it takes to prepare for an event besides bringing the food?
Yeah, so depending on where the customer comes from, a lot of customers, of course, come from referrals, word of mouth. I am on a few different sites, Thumbtack, Bark. I have my own Instagram page, LinkedIn, and what is the other one? Alignable. So depending on where the customer comes from, we'll usually have, and everything is under Cocina Lucia Catering. Usually the customer will send an email or a phone call, and then we'll go from there. You know, I'll discuss with them what are their requests, what are their needs, the dates, you know, the specifics, the details. And then once they show interest, and they'll usually request a quote. So I will email them a quote with anything that we discuss. Per person is usually, you know, how we do it. And once they agree, they will, reach out to me via email or phone call. Usually it's a phone call saying, hey, Lucy, I liked your quote. Let's move forward. So then I require 30% deposit to secure the date. They can either Zelle, PayPal, Cash App. We've implemented Cash App now, and Venmo, more of the updated payment methods. Once they send the 30% deposit, they're locked in. I will either meet with them, the clients in April, be in Arizona in a couple of weeks. So I will sit down and meet with them and have them sign a catering contract, which, you know, binds us both to it legally, just to protect both of us. And then from then, we just, at that same meeting, we'll go over finalizing any details as far as your setup. Did you need on-site help? Did you need help cleaning up? You know, is it just a drop-off where I just bring the food and drop it off? You know, we'll go over those details. And then finally, the day of the event, we just make it amazing with some amazing food.
Well, you covered my total last question, which is how can the public get find you, to contact you to place an order. So if you could tell me one more time, really slow, so I can write it down. I know you said Facebook. I know you said Instagram.
Sure.
You said a few of them.
Yeah, on Instagram, we're in the process of updating our Facebook page. So right now, the most active current page is Cocina Lucia Catering.
Okay.
And that's on Instagram, IG.
Yeah.
And then again, on Bark, B-A-R-K, we're on that site. We are on Thumbtack. We are on Alignable. We are on LinkedIn. Everything is under Cocina Lucia. And we're right in the process of redoing our logo. So you'll see like a chafing dish. It's changing over to a... It's either going to be the chafing dish or a spoon and a fork with Cocina Lucia. Authentic done right. That is our logo. That is our motto. Authentic done right. The right.
Oh, nice.
And our phone number is 520-891-0263.
And that's how you want your callers to get in touch with you? Do you have an email address that you have?
Absolutely. Yes, Aunt Lee. It's Cocina Lucia 14 at gmail.com.
Okay. Well, it was our pleasure in having you on our show and explaining to us all that you've got going on with Cocina Lucia and all that you hope to have going on in the near future. I want to thank you for coming to the Treasure Box, and we welcome you back here anytime with any updates. Girl, you got a backyard party going on, and you trying to advertise that to sell some dishes. Call us up. We'll shout it out for you all over the place. Thank you again for coming in, and thank you, callers, for your questions. We appreciate it very much here in the Treasure Box. If there's no more questions, I'd like to say thank you very much again, and it was my pleasure.
Thank you for having me, Aunt Lee. Have a great day.
You
Thanks, also. Guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.